Blog Talk Radio. Amen. It's always a blessing for you guys to join us here at Harvest Light Church and Harvest Light Studios. We're going to cut the music, kind of solidify itself here in the background. We got the man of God who's going to be with us on this afternoon. Dr. Reverend and Reverend Dr. Stephon Swilly. I know he's got a powerful word that's coming from the kingdom of God always here at Harvest New Light Church and Harvest New Light Studios. It's always a joy for you to be with us, for those who are going to be coming into the studio. Want to make sure you get in the studio like you should, or this proper way that you can call in for those who can go to Blog Talk Internet Radio program. You want to type in blogtalk.com, and you want to go to the actual search bar, and you want to put in Reverend Dr. Stephon Swilly, and that'll bring you right into the program live. Until then, we're just going to go ahead and turn this word over to Dr. Swilly. We know he's got a powerful word he's going to bring to us on this afternoon. And we're not going to delay the time. We're going to turn it right over to the hands of Dr. Swilly. Dr. Swilly?
Yes, thank you there, Pastor Ellis. It's a pleasure to come to you on Wednesday. Had a rough week, but God is still good. Before we get into our message, I'm going to ask you to just take a pause and pray with me before we get into the word. Dear God, we just thank you for this day. Thank you for life, health, and strength. Thank you for the good as well as the bad, dear God. And all we do, we say thank you, for you have been good to us. You've been better to us than we've been to ourselves. And just for that, we say thank you. Thank you, dear God, for all that has transpired up until this very hour. We ask that it be all of you and none of me. Speak to your people, dear God. Speak to their lives and speak to their situations. Let it be a change in the air. Someone take hope to this word and have a change in their lives. Lord, we ask these things. In your name we pray. Amen. Amen. Everyone say amen. For those of you who have your Bibles, turn with me to Philippians, the third chapter, and we're going to begin reading at the 13th verse. I'll be reading from the King James Version of the Bible. That's Philippians, the third chapter, beginning at the 13th verse. And it reads, "Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." Let's look at that term, apprehended. Apprehended. Being held captive from my past. If I had to put a tag on this message, I would say it's time for a restart. It's time for a restart. Oftentimes we do need a restart. It's just like running a race. You took off, you did some things that you regret, you move too fast. Now you got to go back and try it again. Understand that old sins cast long shadows. Why? Because your past can ruin your future if you allow it. It's time for a restart. A new beginning. I'm talking about a new beginning. A new beginning in your life. In order for one to have a new beginning, he or she must understand that today is a new day. In other words, my brothers and sisters, I cannot dwell on what happened yesterday. All of us have a yesterday in our lives. All of us have something that we have been through. As I look back a minute or a second ago, it is in the past. In order for me to have a new day, I cannot dwell on what happened in the past. Whatever happened yesterday, whatever happened a minute or a second ago, that was then. And today is a new day. This is the day that the Lord has made, my brothers and sisters, and we shall rejoice in this day. Yesterday is gone. The problem with us is that many of us can't get ahead simply because we are dwelling on our past. Yes, it wasn't nice. It hadn't been nice for a lot of us, and then it was good. But we have to continue to move forward. I can't move forward because I'm still dwelling on what's in my past. What's in your past, good, bad, or indifferent? This is a new day, a new beginning. We have got to move forward and stop looking back, especially if you want a new beginning. Yes, how many of you all want a new beginning? I believe I'm talking to some people who've been through some things, and they want a new future. They want bigger and better and brighter things for their future. We have got to move forward and stop looking back, especially if you want a new beginning. Now, if you don't want no new beginning, I'm not talking to you. But if you want a new beginning, I'm talking to you. Stop dwelling on negative that have happened yesterday. Yes, that was then, and this is now. We've got to move on. Put what happened yesterday, a minute ago, put it in the past and let it be in the past. That's the past. We got to look forward. So many men and women are stagnant because they cannot thinking about what happened in their past. You're always talking about what happened when you was with this person, or what happened when you was with that person. Oh, I used to be, and now, look at me now. That was the past. What's in the past? Let it be in the past. Now it's time to regroup and get focused. Everything that I do from this day forward is going to have to line up with my goals. Yes, we're going to have some goals, set some goals for ourselves. Yes, we have got to commit to something. When Paul wrote this text, Paul understood that in order for one to be successful, they must be goal-oriented. Don't let nothing or no one hold you captive of your past. You must move on. Yes. In 2016, you don't need to let anything stop you from moving forward. As we look at this text, Paul emphasized for the third time that he had reached his goal. As we look in verse 13, this time repeating the verb to lay hold or make my own. That word is in the Greek is katambano, which he had already used twice in verse 12. And the NIV has followed the text that is noted in the New Revised Standard Version reading is eupo, which means not yet instead of ooh, not. Even though the latter is better attested, the sense seems to require yet, which probably explains why the change was made. The one thing that Paul does in the 13th verse is to aim for the prize. But in verse 14, he puts it like an athlete running a race. He ignores what is behind him and concentrates on what's before him. Yes, he concentrates on the race that he's in. I like the way Paul, he describes this as being a race. He describes it as a call. That's what we must do. We must look at this as something that we're called to do. See, for the third time, Paul emphasizes that he has not yet reached his goal. In verse 13, this time repeating the verb to lay hold of or make my own, which he has already used twice in verse 12. The one thing Paul does in verse 13 is to aim for the prize. And like an athlete running a race, he ignores what is behind him and concentrates on the goal that is ahead. What is that Paul does not look back? Paul does not look back. Possibly it is the progress he has made thus far. But more probably, he's thinking of the privileges he once prized, but has now discarded. The goal on which Paul has set his eyes is linked to the prize, which is defined by the phrase translated literally in the New Revised Standard Version of the Bible, of the upward calling of God in Christ Jesus. The precise meaning of this phrase is uncertain. Does it mean that the prize would be the divine summons to heaven? Or does it mean that the prize will be given to those who have obeyed the call of God? Which is the way the NIV has understood it. Yet the third suggestion is that Paul is thinking of the ceremony at the end of the race, when the winner is called forward to receive the prize. Perhaps we should not attempt to choose between these various interpretations. Certainly the NIV is correct to remind us that the call of God came to Paul at the beginning of the race. Thus he is pressing forward in order to take hold of which Jesus Christ took hold of him. Nevertheless, my brothers and sisters, the prize for which he's aiming will be the realization of what he is called to do. You have to think about what you're called to do. Paul encourages Christians to be goal-oriented. The relevant question is, how does Christians stay focused? In verse 13, it says we got to forget those things which are behind. We got to forgive yourself and others and live goal-oriented. You got to live goal-oriented. When you goal-oriented, you have to put your blinders on and think about where you're going. It's not where you are, but where you're going. When you put those blinders on, it allows you to stay focused. Trainers put blinders on horses so the horse will stay on course and they won't sway to the left or to the right. And I believe that was important to the trainers to do horses that way, but I'm making the translation that we should put blinders on so that we can be goal-oriented to do what God has called us to do. Yes, the first positive principle is forget the past. Yes, today is a new day. We got to shred what happened in our past. Learn from it and move on. One of the hardest exercises known to man or woman is to forget what has gone before. We have the tendency to be like pack rats and hold on to everything. But today you need to shred what happened in your past and keep it moving. It means to carry something heavy into today and tomorrow. All the mistakes and failures and frustrations and hates of yesterday, leave it behind. Eventually, you can't stand up under a load. You aren't strong enough, so leave it behind. So you've got to learn to forget the past. No one likes to fail at anything, but in due season, everyone will. The question is, what you going to do about it? Are you going to continue to concentrate on that, or are you going to continue to move? Remember, you're in a race. Yes, of course, you got to forget those things that are behind. You aren't strong enough to carry it with you. So you're going to have to put it down, step on it, and turn it loose. Think about what's your goal. Extract whatever and how, extract from what all those mistakes you made and forget the past. A wise American businessman, John Henry Patterson, developed the National Cash Register Company in Dayton, Ohio. He used to employ young men, giving them difficult and responsible tasks. He watched to see how they handled their mistakes, saying that no one was as any good who was afraid of making mistakes. Then he watched to see if they had the quality of mind to overcome the mistakes and do better the next time. Mr. Patterson surrounded himself with astonishingly competent businessmen, men not afraid to fail, men who could learn from their failures. The second positive principle is we got to forgive yourself and others. Did someone do you an injury or say something mean about you or treat you contemptuously yesterday? No doubt that could have happened. It may be just the right time now to consider honestly in resentments you may have and practice forgiveness. Two men who had a lifetime friend, they had a falling out. Neither one would have anything to do with the other. After several months, one of them fell ill and was hospitalized. A mutual acquaintance persuaded the other man to visit his old friend. But what do I say to him? He protested. Don't worry, he was told. Just act as if whatever had come between you was over, in the past and forgotten. It worked. There's a healing in forgiveness. It mends broken relationships and makes everything new. We got to forgive others, and we also have to forgive ourselves. Good, bad, or indifferent. We got to forgive others, and we got to forgive ourselves. Because we didn't do what was required of us by God. But what about self-forgiveness? Did you commit a sin? I hope you are sorry. Then repent and ask the Lord for forgiveness. Then forgive yourself and don't let it linger in your consciousness as guilt. Because if it does, it will bow down and your unconsciousness mind and discolor your whole life. Get it forgiven and then forget it. Overcome your sense of guilt by the two processes. First, by asking for and receiving God's forgiveness. And second, by forgiving yourself. When God forgives you and you forgive yourself, that settles it. I say, when God forgives you and you forgive yourself, that settles it. You don't have to worry about other people. You have to do what God requires us to do. My third positive principle is live today goal-oriented. Don't let no one hold you hostage of what happened in your past. What's happened in your past, let it be in your past and forget it. The Lord brings down a curtain of darkness every 24 hours to shut off the day that is past to get ready for tomorrow. Did you ever stop to think of the beneficence of the Lord is doing that? Sir Wim Osler, the great turn of the century physician, said that we should live in a day-tight compartment. Each night, he said, we should pull down a great mental curtain, shutting out the past, and another great curtain, shutting out tomorrow. And go to sleep. Burdened by the past and anxieties about the future. Suppose that you knew that this is your last day on earth. What would you do this day? Just think about it for a minute. What would you do? How would you spend the remaining hours of this day? How would you do it? Well, answer that and you will have answered how you ought to live every day. Would you want to pack it full of great experiences of love, goodness, fellowship, wonder, and joy, and every good thing? Just as people think about yesterday, they worry about tomorrow. But if you take care of today, tomorrow will take care of itself. So forgetting those things which are behind, reach forward to those things that are ahead, remembering that your job is to be worthy and give God the praise and honor that he deserves. And God will take care of you. Live well today, and you will come to tomorrow in strength of right thinking and right living. Understand, my brothers and sisters, that God has something great for you. Remember, you are on a race, answering your call, doing what God has called you to do. Press your way through your path. God will reward you when you cross the finish line. Yes, oftentimes you have to do a restart. Just remember why you're doing a restart. Because you're goal-oriented. And you're thinking about crossing the finish line. You can't let anybody stop you or block you. Understand that we're answering the call. That's who we need to please. We need to please God, our Creator. And don't worry about what folks say. Yes, we all have a past. I have a past. You have a past. A minute is in the past. Concentrate on your future. That's what really matters, is what he says. What we want is we want to get our reward. When that day comes, we want him to say, "Job well done, my faithful servant. What we've done on earth will be over. But we have to keep pressing, my brothers and sisters. Keep pressing. Keep pressing. Press your way through whatever it may be. Concentrate on getting to the finish line. And how do we do it? We have to forget the past, forgive yourself and others. Don't be hard on yourself. And remember, you have to live today, goal-oriented, and understand what God has for you, it is for you. Can't nobody take it. They'll try to shake it, but they won't succeed taking you off the course. that God has plans for you. Yes, you may take a detour from time to time, but just understand, if you make a wrong turn, you're going to have to get back on the path and go the direction that God called you to do. Yes. Keep it moving. Keep it moving. Don't let no one stop or block what God has for you. Yes. I just wanted to encourage you today, my brothers and sisters. This has been a blessing for me. You know, whenever I preach a message, the first person who is hit by it is the one that has to get a message. And I was hit by that message. It inspired me. And I want you to be inspired. And I hope this message has spoke to your life and caused you to get on the right path that God has for you. If I have anyone that's under the sound of my voice who like to just share one of their stories or their testimony, you can call the station and I'll be glad to answer any questions or to encourage you in any way that I can. I hope this message inspired you. I hope it put you on the right path. Just think about it. You're on a race. And you want to be like that athlete who's at the beginning and want to reach the end. Don't let anything stop you. Don't let anything hold you captive of your past. Understand, as I stated before, the things that you've done in your past, let it be in the past. Don't let it affect your future. As I stated before, old sins cast long shadows. Why? Because your past can ruin your future only if you let it. Don't let anything stop or apprehend you. Don't let anything hold you captive of your past. For Paul says, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended. But this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, and reach forth. You got to reach. It calls you to extend yourself, reaching forward into those things which are before, and press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Understand what you're doing and who you're doing it for. You're doing it for Him. Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
Mm-hmm. Hallelujah.
Yes.
Amen.
At this time, I'm going to thank Pastor Charles Ellis for this opportunity. I thank you for allowing me to come into the show and speak to God's people. Any assistance that I can render to you and your ministry, I'm here for you. And any ministry opportunities, I'm putting myself out there for you all. You can call me. My name is Dr. Stefan Swilly. My telephone number is 804-919-1847.
Amen.
I'm located here in Chester, Virginia.
Amen.
I pray for you all success.
Amen.
I'm praying for great things for God's people. Don't let anything hold you captive of your past. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Man, God bless you, Pastor. I'm going to say Dr. Stefan Swilly. I want to make sure I get that right. And most of you heard the actual plea that's coming from the kingdom. You know, anything that actually triggers us and makes us feel other than what God commanded and declared us to be. You just heard it through this man of God. And I caught a lot of information from Philippians chapter 3 and 13. It talks about, you know, how he looks at the final of the brethren, rejoicing in the Lord with it, the first part of Philippians. But for those of you who are calling into the studio, I want you to know that this is a free opportunity for you to call in to discuss it. We go to our actual discussion session on this afternoon dealing with Reverend Dr. Stefan Swilly. The number to call in is actually 516-387-1220. And it's just a powerful discussion. As we know, we got most of some of our callers on the line, most of those who are in the archives, and most of those who are on the studio. But if those who are already in there call into the studio, actually on the line is called into the studio, if you want to enter into the studio and be able to have some of the conversation or have something to say during the course of this message that this man of God has just spoken, you can actually call, as I said before, area code 516-387-1220. And all you have to do is push that little number one button on your actual telephone keypad, and that'll bring you right into the studio. We'll light you up. As always, when we get started in this conversation, dealing with the process of after one of our actual speakers that's here in the surrounding 50 states, and we have different speakers coming from all types, you know, from every area of the country. I mean, from Nigeria to from California to you name it. They're in here in the studio, and they're here to hear this man of God and hear what he has to say, the word that's concerning from the kingdom of God. Now, we're going to go ahead and light it up. Usually I try to beat you to the punchline, Dr. Swilly, but I got one to call in from 214-839. We want to make sure we get them in, and we're going to hear what they have to say concerning this particular message in the book of Philippians dealing with that. We don't want to run off the wall on anything else. We want to maintain our actual conversation. We want to keep it structured for all the young ministers who are out there listening. We want to keep it structured on this particular area of conversation. So I'm going to light up this man of God. It's over here in actually 214 area code. It's an 893, and we're going to give him not just the first prefixes that we're going to put him in the studio. And I believe this is if I'm not mistaken, this might be Pastor Edward Pearson. If I got the number right, the man out of Mount Olive Church out there in the city of Terrell, Texas. Am I somewhere in there?
Yes, sir.
I believe so. Well, God bless you, man of God. You're talking to your comrade, Dr. Stefan Swilly down in Chester, Virginia. I'm quite sure Dr. Swilly is familiar with you, Edward Pearson. He's asking about you most of the time. So we're going to let you have your way here, Pastor Pearson, and let you kind of go ahead with Dr. Swilly, and you guys can kind of shuffle it up here a little bit, all right? Go ahead.
All right, Doc. First of all, I want to say I'm thankful to be a part of this radio broadcast, and I enjoyed the part of the message that I heard coming from Dr. Swilly, a longtime friend and a neighborhood constituent. We grew up in the same neighborhood, and Doc, it's just good to hear your voice and good to know that you're doing ministry and preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Yes.
There's some things that you shared tonight that I think that is good for all of us to know, that if there is anything in your past that is hindering the progress of your future, you need to leave it in the past. And because it's not going to profit you anything. It's not going to gain you anything in this life, because each one of us have a past. You know,
yes.
Thank God that he holds our future in his hand.
Praise the Lord.
Amen. So,
yes, sir.
And not only does he hold our future, he knows our past. But I thank God that he's not a God that goes back and reaches into our past and pulls it into our presence. You know.
Praise the Lord.
And because of his grace and his mercy and the things that he has done through his son Jesus Christ, who paid the ultimate penalty for our sins, you know, past, present, and future. He paid that.
Yeah.
He paid the penalty for all of our sins, and all we have to do is, as the scripture says, forgetting those things which are behind us.
Yes, sir.
And reaching forth to those things which are before us, and pressing toward the mark of the high calling, which is in Christ Jesus. And so, again, I was blessed by the message. I was thinking about something that you said. It reminded me of a scripture in the book of St. John, the 4th chapter, where Jesus said that he needed to go through Samaria. And there, in a certain city, he met a woman at a well.
Yes.
And this woman's life was in turmoil because of the things that she had done in her past.
Yes.
And sometime, I will say this, because sometimes things that happen in our past will spill over into our future. But
yes.
Because of the God that we serve,
yes.
He can relinquish us from those things. And when this woman that Jesus met at the well, and if you notice what he did with her, all he did was ask her to give him a drink. And,
yes.
And she was not able to do that. He said, now, if you would have asked me, I would have given you that would spring up into everlasting life, where you would have no need again to come to this well.
Hallelujah.
Ever again anymore.
Amen.
Said, because once I give it to you, your thirst will be quenched from this time forward. And you'll never have to come here to get your thirst quenched again. And then he asked her a question. He said, where's your husband? She said, I don't have one. He said, you've answered that well, because you had five, and the one you have now, he's not yours. And then she goes off. The woman goes off.
Yeah.
And she goes and tells the city, come see a man.
Come see a man.
Told me everything that I have done. And see, and that's what happens.
Yes.
When God impacts our life.
Yes.
With truth.
Amen.
He doesn't have to throw any rocks at us. Or
no, he don't. He sure don't.
Because he already knows our condition.
Yes, he does.
Better than we know our own condition.
That's right.
It.
Yes, hallelujah.
And then I remember, again, in another scripture, where they brought this woman to Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Taken in the very act of committing adultery.
My God.
Yes. And Jesus never even mentioned.
No, he didn't. Her past. No, he didn't.
What was done.
Yes, no, he didn't.
He says to the chief priests, the elders, and all of them that brought her to him, he says to them, he says, he that is among you without sin,
let him
first cast a stone at her. And basically,
my God.
What Jesus, out of that text, what I get out of that is, throw down the stone and pick up the rock.
Amen. Amen.
Which is Christ Jesus.
That's right.
And none of us have room. None of us have room to judge or to
That's
call
right.
another
That's
person's
right.
you
down.
Know,
That's
sins
right.
into
right.
into
to
sight.
What God. That's right.
Because
come on, man,
we
God.
All we still all have sin in our lives. We all.
That's what the Word of God says. We
you
all
know,
fall.
But thank God.
Mm-hmm.
Thank God for this here. And I love this here. Because
just because I am a Christian does not make me sin less.
Amen.
But because I am a Christian, I sin less.
Amen. 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 Amen.
That's it.
So
amen.
That's it.
Amen.
And so I thank God for that, you know, because I'm saved. I sin less.
Amen. Amen.
That's right.
Amen.
I sin less.
Amen.
You know. And it's because of what, not because of what I've done.
Discipline.
It's all because
of
what he is.
What he done.
Because of what he has done.
Amen.
And what
Hallelujah.
He is doing in my life.
That's right. That's right.
Right.
So again, I thank God for the message. Man, you have inspired me.
Oh, yeah. You sure
know
did.
That there are some things in my past that I can just let go of.
Yeah.
And allow God to work in my life and not to worry about what people say.
Come on, brother.
And the critics, you know, because there's always going to be somebody that tried to remind you of
your
past.
Yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Thank God I don't have to worry about those individuals.
No, man of God, I tell you, it's you just heard from the man himself, Pastor Edward Pearson. Down in Terrell, Texas, at Mount Olive Church in Terrell. You all might want to go to one of the websites, or my website, his website, or one of the Facebook channels, or one of the 20 network stations, and get in tune if you're in the Terrell, Texas area. And also, if you get an opportunity, you're in actually Western Virginia area, Stephon Swilly, Dr. Stephon Swilly, is also pursuing some things in the kingdom. And he gave you his information about how you can contact him and where you need to be able to get information from him concerning the work he's done. But in the middle of his text, before Pastor Pearson came in there and just set fire to the whole field. But I'm going to see if I can just back it up just a little bit and cool it down a little bit and just kind of bring back to the point he said, why he said, I count myself.
Mm.
He talked about the word apprehended. And I believe the word of God declares an apprehension is something that's trying to hold you from what God already predestined you to be. You heard it from the man. See, look, sometimes you got to go through your Samaria storm. But on the other side, God got somebody waiting on you that's able to take all your past and all your sins away from you. Paul begins to speak that word. He said, that I have obtained, which I have been called to the service, to redeem. There is something that God has fashioned me. Paul is trying to say, I'm already molded into doing this. I can't break out this mold. I've been designed since the road of Damascus to come and do this will. And everything that I ever done is all behind me. I count everything as done for the revelation and the information, the divine purpose in which Christ has sent me. You heard what he said. Sometimes you got to throw down the rock and pick up the stone.
Yeah.
You know, because mothers don't want to pick up the real stone. You know, Peter had an indication about his word, his name is being called Cephas, and the chip off the old block, I would call him that. But Peter knew and understood through all his rebellion, God was yet still in position, which is the Son of Man, Jesus Christ, God in the flesh, was willing to forgive him for whatever it may have been in his life, because he saw something in Peter that he knew he was going to revolutionize the world. And that's the same thing with us. God sees something in us, as the man of God saying. You don't let nobody look at your past and judge you any shape, form, or fashion. I believe one of the texts in the Albert Burns novel notes says that I count myself to be apprehended. He said, this is I have denied or have been obtained that which I've been called to service, to redeem there to something I to have to serve. He said, I've been redeemed to serve something. I've been redeemed to serve something I have to serve. I have not yet gained the statement of confirmation on the opinion of others, but I already know through the kingdom of God, which I have called to do. And the man of God said that word in the midst of the well. If you knew who it was who asked you to give you a drink, oh, my God, oh, Pastor Pierce, you done did something. I don't know what you've done, but you done turned a switch on somewhere. See, we really just got a broadcast coming in, but now it didn't turn into a holy cast. Because he spoke something in this man. And he just said, he said, I'm not already perfect.
Yeah.
The man of God out of Texas told you, now one of us is perfect and able to look at anyone else in any shape, form, or fashion other than what Christ designed us to be. We all fall short, he says in Romans 3. Is that right? 3 and 23? He said, we all fall short. I think he goes back in Romans, telling that Romans 10, he said, all of us has went astray. All of us have left the word and gone astray.
Yes.
We've all fallen away. But thanks to the glory of God and through the redeeming of the cross and what he done, we can't be apprehended by nothing in our past. See, you can't see the future, but God knows the thoughts and the plans. I got to steal that from you one Pastor Pearson talking about that this morning. We was talking a little bit this afternoon. He's talking about how you know, I have already looked into the future, and I know the thoughts, and I know the plans
that I have for you.
And he said he'd already established what he had for you. He said they're already good and not of evil. The expectation of knowing that you have to about anything that try will apprehend you. I count myself, as I heard what Dr. Swilly said, I'm not looking at what's in the past. I got to move to the future, to what Christ has called me to do, which in Christ Jesus. Man of God, I tell you, Pastor Swilly, I want you to really, if you can elaborate with me a little bit, about the word when he says, the one, the part he said, forgetting those. Now, it says those in the King, those things. That which are behind, and I think if I'm mistaken, and I'm gonna bring my preachers in here. I think Galatians talks about some of the former things that we all struggle from in life, and Pastor Pearson couldn't have said it worse, best than anybody, not worse but better than anybody else. Even though we're in the flesh, but we're not of the flesh, meaning we're not completely free from the sins. He said something this afternoon that touched my heart. Dr. Swilly, now we're talking about him concerning some things. He said that, Pastor Ellis, you know, when you really look at where you are and where you're going, your destiny has nothing to do with where you are today. You got to move forward.
That's right.
But the word says no weapon. The way he put it, I got to turn it over to the originator, Pastor Pearson. He talks about the weapons. And I want you to take it from here, Pastor, because he can't nobody put it but like the original. He talked about the weapons, he said, the forming of the weapons. He said he didn't say they would form. Go ahead, Pastor Pearson. Come on in here.
Well, when we look at the Word of God, and it says no weapon formed against us shall prosper. And the Word of God does not say weapons would not be formed against us. Because they will be formed. Because that is the work of the enemy. That's his tactics. He forms weapons against us, and he doesn't care. See, the devil doesn't care who he has to use.
That's right.
To bring about certain artillery or weapons against us. But I love what the scripture says, because if we read it with insight, it says, no weapon formed against us shall prosper. It does not say that the weapons wouldn't be formed.
That's right.
Here you go.
But it does say that they will not prosper.
Prosper.
Yeah.
Will not prosper.
That's right. That's right. That's right. Yeah. And you look at the prospering process. Go ahead, Pastor Pearson. Come on.
And so in that, it lets me know that the weapons that are formed against me cannot prosper simply because of the one who protects me in the process of the weapons being formed.
There you go. Yes, sir.
You know, so we don't have to worry about that's it. We don't have to worry about if weapons are going to be formed, because they are. Not only were they being formed against us, but they were formed against our Lord and Savior. But
yes,
they could
sir.
Not prosper. For Jesus had already declared, for this cause came I into the world, to this end was I born, that the Son of Man must suffer many things and then be put to death. But on the third day morning,
he rose.
He was going to rise again. And that's the word.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah.
And when he rose with all power.
With all power.
Yes.
Yes, indeed. And so I appreciate this ministry, the time for spiritual dialogue. And Doc, again, as Pastor Ellis and I often say to one another, iron sharpens iron.
Yes, sir.
We help one another, you know. There's some things that I may not have looked at it from your perspective, and now that I'm hearing it, it helps me to see from a different perspective.
Sir.
Of what forgiveness is, not only for me to forgive others, but I cannot forgive others until I learn to forgive myself.
There you go.
Hold on, Pastor Pearson. Hold on a second.
There you go.
Let me listen. Let me go back here. I like to keep it in what we're speaking of for the young preachers and the young listeners. I want to look at the process again. When it says forgetting that word those is an indication that we all have something according to Romans 3:23. Those, I think, if I can go there in that area, I think Ephesians, if I make a mistake, Ephesians sums it up really good about it. If you turn to your book of Ephesians chapter 2, he talked about how we all once walked, you know, in the course of the world. You know, we all was in there somewhere doing something, but, you know, we all had that conversation in past times. So he said that we all were, when you look at Ephesians, I'm not going to try to, I'm going to read it out. It says that he has quickened, and he said, who are dead in your trespasses. And he puts an ES on there. The same thing he talks about over here in forgetting those. Ephesians said trespasses and sins, wherein in past time we walked according. Now look what he said. That was a GPS system for sin.
Yes.
The course, according to the prince. Now, we know who we were serving, but Philippians comes back and said, forgetting those things which are behind us. If I can sum it up with Pastor Pearson, Galatians makes a very strong argument at that. I think he says walking in the spirit. And he gives a strong point about all those things that we have dealt with in our past, fornication, lascivious, heresy, all these things. And I tell people all the time, Pastor Pearson and Dr. Swilly, that if you are one person to feel you free from every sin, raise your hand. But let me stand to one side because I don't want to get hit by what God finna send down.
That's right.
He said forgetting those things.
See,
there's a lot of things that's been illusions. Undoubtedly, like he talked against the Grecian race, the running of the secure, the prize, of the stopping of those things which are behind. You know, them guys burned their spleens back then. They didn't want to feel no tiredness. That's how much the race and the game was to them. But Paul said in the way, not in terms of the race, but when we run in and walking as men and women, God, there are things we pick up on the way. Dr. Swilly?
Yes, sir.
In life, we pick up some stuff.
Yeah.
And it's not we pick it up intentionally, but I hung around certain crowds. I don't know about y'all, but I'm just being transparent. There were certain things I picked up from other people when I was in the streets.
Yes, sir.
And those things I've bought home, knowing it. Oh, Pastor Pierce, you just ringing in my mind about the cake, but I ain't going to get into that. But, Lord, you know what I'm talking about. But we have picked up things that wasn't the proper ingredients to go in the mix than what our parents had at home. But Paul brings it to the strong understanding. If you're going to walk in Christ, there's some things we all must forget in order to move forward with the identity of fixing our eyes on the prize. Did I say something? I believe I missed something somewhere. Help me here, Pastor Swilly. Help me here, Pastor Swilly. Go ahead.
You own it.
You know, and I don't want you to be on it because I'm telling you, you said forgetting those things.
Yes.
And every one of us has some things. See.
Yes.
See, my thing. Can I give one of my things? One of my things was two Heinekens and a couple of shots of Tanqueray. See, I don't want to talk about the realness of what happened.
See?
Sometimes appearing behind closed rooms where nobody saw things taking place. I don't want to get real up in it because nobody want to come into this thing like this. Because sometimes in order for you to be delivered from whatever's in your future or trying to hold you from the future, you got to know how to talk about the past. The Bible says confess your sins. And nobody wants to do that. Even right now, he said we're still doing things in the presence of God that are not even pleasing to him. But yet we still keep on praising them out of the same mouth and spitting evil out the same mouth. He said bittersweet, they're supposed to come out of the same fountain.
No.
But we can't forget those things. Why is it that in this day and time, Dr. Swilly,
yes,
Pastor Edward Pearson, that we as the men and women of God in the body of Christ will keep on carrying on the same thing after the seed has been planted by great men of God like yourself, and we go right back out in the cares of what is strong. Why is that we can't receive and be able to walk upright with Christ, not that we have received the word of God from the very man of God or the prophet himself, but yet we still let the cares of the world pull us out of the wheel of what God has spoken to this man to give unto us? Why is it that we can't forget those things?
Yes.
Somebody got to talk to me.
When we look at
Ephesians 1:22, it says, and have put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church.
But 1:21 give us a more powerful revelation also.
And far above all principalities and powers and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in the world, but also in that which is to come.
So why can't we get rid of that and obey that to have what we have in 21?
Yeah.
And 22.
So now watch this, brother.
Come on.
Here we go. When we look at the Greek word for the word forget, okay, it does not literally mean for us to forget our past, okay, because we'll never forget the things that we have done in this life. We can't forget.
Our difficulties. Come on.
Now watch this. But what it does indicate is that we are to allow the grace of God to unshackle us. Our past.
We were shackled
to our past in the flesh. But now that we are no longer in the flesh and in the spirit realm, we're no longer shackled. The shackles have been broken. They have not just been loosened. They have been broken.
Let me look at when you said that, Pastor Pearson, before you go on. Let me look at that again. When you said that, he said, what does Ephesians 8 says? Then in the age to come that we might show the exceedingly.
Yes.
That's what Pastor Pearson really just said about the process. We ain't never free from, but through the grace that has been given unto us.
That's it. That we ought to that's build. The only thing that frees us.
Come on, man.
That's the
right
only
there.
Thing that frees us.
The grace
is the grace.
And the
See, if God was to look at us in the state, in the state that we are in right now,
oh my God,
he would have to turn away.
Oh,
but
Jesus.
Because the blood of Jesus covers us, God sees us in our totality.
Hey,
he sees us in our finished state, not in our state of being processed. Because
that's right,
we're no longer in that state. He sees us in eternity.
Yeah, like he said, how you say, toss to and forth, as Paul kind of puts it. We ain't just, we ain't rattling in this thing. We finishing. The finished product. We coming down the assembly line. We ain't going back.
Yeah.
It had to be reassembled or anything, or we'd be committed to anything.
Yeah.
We're the finished product. We going on through. Anything that need to be cut off of us, you know, they take you up and shim you a little bit, and they're gonna put it on out there.
It's a process, God. This is a process that we are going through. And Paul said, I die daily.
So that
Christ may live. I die daily so that the Christ that's within me may live daily.
Oh, my God.
You know, and so it's not that, okay, once you are saved does not mean that you are without any sin.
Come on, Pastor.
Okay.
Give me some Second Corinthians in there with that. Feed me a little bit more greens in that. Come on, give me some of that. Come on, man. Now you can't eat all the pie, but you got to give me some dessert in here. Come on, back on the other. Come on, come back in the fruit, that Second Corinthians. Come on, give me something.
Paul says, "I am that I am, not because of who I am, but it's because of who Christ is." In me,
my God,
you know,
in the name
I'm not that I am.
I can't do nothing
because of who I am.
It's who
but
in
because
me.
Of the Christ that is in me, I am that I am.
How did the old folks say it? Greater than he? They really said
greater
something back then when they were saying it, but we took it as a cliche.
He that is in the word.
We just cliched it now with a reformation of understanding of what it means. God really, as you say, he diametrically opposes sin on every level than what his son done on the cross.
Yeah.
You can't do that no more. Romans tells you 6. Should I continue on in that what they call the S-I-N? And he said, God forbids. That we as men and women, God has, I think how he says it when he says we no longer live that, because now the confession of Romans 10:8-9, where is the word? It's near you, that was in thy mouth. If I can confess and believe it, and with the mouth, God says, in the confession is made unto salvation.
He also says, what in that same scripture in Romans, he said, shall we continue in sin? He said, God forbid.
Yes,
he said,
did.
But. Now watch what he said. He said, but if we do sin, but watch this now. And you got and again, we have to go back to the Greek text where Paul speaks here. He's not saying and if we sin, Paul is saying and when we sin.
When we knowing that you're going to.
Yeah. He said, when we sin, we have an advocate.
An advocate. Yeah, I got a shield. Ephesians says it's called armor. That's what he says. That I can withstand the blow when the enemy. Now he gonna come. It goes back to what you said again. Now this is good. It goes back to what you just said again, Pastor Pearson. That if you don't understand that weapons are gonna form, they gonna come up. But how you deal with the process of them coming at you, knowing who you got on your side, greater than he. If the one inside of you rises up, greater than the one that's outside of you, then you protect it. He can form all the weapons he wants. You can't touch this. That's MC Hammer. I don't want to get off and they can't touch it. That's MC. You can't. You can't. How should we live to sin any longer?
Man, we can't. And see, and that's the thing. Paul is saying we are no longer practicing sin.
Yeah.
We don't practice sinning any longer.
Yes.
We're not practicing that lifestyle any longer. But when we do sin.
Yeah,
and it's not it's not just by commission and sometimes by omission.
Mm-hmm.
We sin, God, knowingly sometimes that we have sinned, and then we sin sometimes unknowingly.
But this
is the thing. This is the key factor in all of that.
Mm-hmm.
In all of this, is that see you can't. My dad used to say some things to me when I was growing up as a kid. He said, if you do wrong, he said, don't wallow in it. He said, get up.
Yeah.
Dust yourself
don't stay down in it. Yeah.
he said, dust yourself off and get up and do better.
Yeah, do
that's
better.
That's what Paul is actually saying.
Yeah. Yeah.
See,
you all
see,
might
see,
want to know
every,
that.
From every life experience, from everything that so easily beset us in this life that we live
My
for
God.
Christ, man, for everything, God, we cannot allow it to be a weight against us.
Paul says former life was like dung.
Ooh, man.
Did you want to wallow in that? Paul said my former life was like dung.
It is.
I think Proverbs is
I think we know what dung is.
Well, see. Now, I don't know anybody want to play in that any longer. I mean, I don't know. You know, I'm trying to just say something sensibly here. But anybody who's playing that stuff, all understand, it may not be in the force of the physical, but it's still the same thing.
And that's the thing. A baby don't even want that on him.
No, he cry.
He'll cry.
Get that diaper up off me. I'm uncomfortable. But we sat there right with it on. Don't be really comfortable. We okay. You got something on you, man. I heard an old timer, Pastor Pearson, Dr. Swilling, he said, it was a man who was walking among his elders and people. And then everywhere they went, it was a smell. And one of the old time, he said, it was a smell. Someone was always stinking. And every time they smelled the smell, he was among his colleagues, but he said, something smell.
Mm-hmm.
And everywhere they went in the cafeteria, something smell. They got an elevator, something smell. Got in the car, something smell. But until he got to himself, and found out that the cheese was in his pocket.
Mm.
We keep looking at everybody else. I think Man. One thing I was at Pastor Pearson's service, he talked about the process that he was bringing forth and doing the extra communion. He talked about something that really stood out in my mind, and I never really stood the way he said it. He talked about the self-examination process is what he's talking about now. Self-examination is not something you just throw and look at. You got to really, really go to your soul and your opportunity, who you're with a fine-tooth comb, to see if you really are the faith. You really do. Because like he was just saying, we all got something in us, and we don't commit sin on a daily basis to what we just openly do it. Sometimes we do it unknowingly. But we really got to be able to examine ourselves before we go look at and see what somebody else has done. And so many times we're so quick to look at the other person. And I believe when that scripture that Pastor Swilly was reading, and Dr. Swilly, he was saying those things. I think those things are really speaking about us. Before we can even look at somebody else and count about somebody else's problem, sometimes we got to look at the things that's in our own life.
That's
we
right.
got too many problems trying to take away, you know, look at our, we really look at our own life. It's really a job taking our own life. Taking our own, you know, just looking at ourselves rather than looking at somebody else. How can we do that?
When we things, that's a personal. In other words, my things is not like your things.
Mm-hmm.
Nah.
And your things is not like my things. But one
thing
like
Congress
with
the things.
Yes.
Yes.
Things that try to plague us.
Man.
Things that try to stop us.
Yeah, what is your things?
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? Pastor Ellis, what is your things?
Huh.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Pastor Ellis Pitts, what is your things? You know, who else on that? What is your things? You know, you got to look at your things. You got some things.
I like what Paul says when he says, "I count myself."
Go ahead. Go ahead. Hold on, Pastor Pierce. Go ahead, Dr. Swilly.
It causes us to not focus on God and focus on it instead of Him.
Y'all stirring it up in here tonight. Y'all sure stirring it up in here tonight. But God tell you, go on, stir it.
When Paul says, "I count myself not to have apprehended." But this one thing, watch this. Paul became a mathematician. He said, I count myself. First of all, when he said forgetting those things which are behind me, we have to realize what Paul did prior to his conversion and his calling.
Yeah, he was talking about himself.
Paul said, forgetting those things which are behind me. Mm-hmm. Paul stirred up mess in the church.
He sure did.
He
was
walking around killing folk.
Yes, he was.
Yes. He had letters from the king to go and if they wouldn't come, he would kill them.
Man, them Pastor Pierce, and I was reading like you said about that, them boys that he rode with. Them jailers, them Roman jailers, them was some stone cold henchmen. Paul may didn't have to raise their hand to judge them, but them boys wasn't no joke. Them jailers that rode with Paul, them boys were stone cold gangsters. They rode hard.
And don't you get it twisted because Paul was a gangster himself.
Paul was a double agent.
He was Al Capone, man. He didn't do nothing.
Yes.
He told people what to do. This is a real conversation on Harvest Lutheran Church here in the Harvest Lutheran Studios, where everybody's getting too religious and figure like we outside the scriptures and what we're speaking. We're speaking the things that are relatable on today times of which we're living in as God give us revelation. See, anything that refuses to die can't live. And when we're talking about here, you're more welcome. Area code is 516-387-1220, and we're having a topic discussion about the book of Philippians over there in chapter 3 about some of the things that Paul took in responsibility as being a 40 man and walking in the kingdom. We are along with Dr. Stefan Swilly, from Chester, Virginia, and we got our own Pastor Edward Pearson right here in the city of Terrell, Texas, and we're discussing about some of the events that's taking place and how it relates to our own life. So if it's too real for you, you can drop on off or you can come on in. Once again, the number is 516-387-1220. Now, this is not for no babes to get in here. This is for men who really want to come in and speak about the process of what we're speaking on tonight.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Pastor Pearson. You were saying.
No, Pastor Swilly. I mean, Dr. Swilly.
Pastor Swilly. Yeah. Well, come on, man. Get on in there. Run this relay.
Yeah. One thing we have to do is we have to be transparent with ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
Man.
Yes. And the more we're transparent with ourselves, that's when God begins to use us. That's when God begins to mold us into the men of God that he wants us to be.
Mm-hmm. Y'all know we got it going on up in here, man. We got the sirens rolling in the background, man.
That's what one of the great thinkers, one of the great thinkers said, Dr. Swilly, when he said, be true to thyself.
Yes.
Be true to thyself.
Yeah.
And when you can learn to be true to
yourself,
you can also be true.
Yeah.
To other folks.
You can master
That's
things.
Right. The more you
I'm
can
not,
show of yourself.
I have not arrived yet. I have not arrived.
Yeah.
I have
Me
not
neither.
Apprehended these things.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
There's some things that God is still dealing with me on.
Yeah.
As a pastor, as a preacher, as a husband, as a father, as an employee. The Lord is still dealing with me on some things in my life.
Yes.
But because of this thing that I do know. That's like Paul said. I have not apprehended these other things.
Yeah. Come on, Pastor P. Read that on out. I like that over there in chapter in the verse 16. I like when he said that.
Yeah.
Some people didn't catch that. He says he's talking about
the
same thing.
But there's one
thing. Somebody read
there's
that out.
Thing, I'm saved. Mm-hmm. And I ain't got to fear that. I don't need anyone to co-sign it for me. I'm
meet
saved.
Nobody's demands.
No.
No,
I'm saved. God, thank God that I am saved.
Yeah. Pastor, he says, he says in verse 16, he said, nevertheless. He said, whereto we have already obtained. Now, I got to back it up a little bit, get to 15 to get to 16, because I got to make it make some sense. He says, therefore, as many as we be perfect. Notice how he said this. He said, let us, therefore, as many as they be perfect. Now, notice how he said that. Be thus minded, and if anything be ye otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. I want to catch that again because I want to hear what he's saying.
Yeah.
He's talking about the ones who think they got it right and think they got the opportunity to point at somebody. The woman of the well type people or the woman of God in adultery. The Pharisees. Let us, therefore, as many as be perfect. Perfect.
Yeah.
Be thus minded, and if anything be otherwise minded, that's what he's saying. If anything else be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. There are some people that you can't come up here and just try to talk to a discerning person or a Holy Ghost filled person. See, that's one thing. You can look like something on the outside, but they can see what's on the inside. I think Paul said it about the Pharisees. He said, y'all look good on the outside. Y'all lots of peace. Y'all nice suits. You want to be known in the marketplace. He said, but baby, y'all just like dead man bones. And y'all full of all kind of deceit, always changing the laws of Moses. And he goes on and he says in that 16th verse, he said, but nevertheless, hereto, we have already attained. Let us walk by the same. Look how you said how we are those who have already, when you come to understand who you are, that you know you got some cheese in your pocket, and you stink too until you come to conformity and know that you ain't already perfect, you better get yourself together before you roll up in here. Because there are some things that are going on in the kingdom that will expose you. You look good on the outside, but if you got something going on the inside, you don't even look right. And here you coming up here looking with a smile on your face. You got your 50-pound Bible. You got your bald-shaved head. You got your nice suit. You got your gaiters on. You're walking in the house of God with your stilettos on. But, baby, you got a crack in your foundation. And you need a checkup from the neck up, man. And they don't understand that. That everybody's got something in them that ain't right. Check up from the neck up all the way down. And we all got some things that's in us. We ain't perfect according to verse 16 or 15. In 16, we have become perfect. He said, let us walk with the same rules, which is not the rules of the land, but the rules of the kingdom. The law is not in place anymore with us, now that we've confessed it.
Now.
He wants us to be on the same mind.
Same rule, man. Same team.
Take such a view of the thing. It should take all of us. And we should take the same view that he has.
Listen to that. Matter of fact, I tell you, get a better. Let's break it a little bit more. Let's break it a little bit more even harder than that. Let's look at the Amplified version. He says, all of us who are mature, pursuing spiritual perfection, right there, should get you. Look how he said, it's kind of said like the Paul's process when he got him at over in Corinth, over in verse 3, in chapter 3. When he got against Apollo and all of them, they got to talking about who they were and all this. You know, the Corinthians, they was Jesus, they was everybody. But look what it says in the Amplified version. All of us who are mature, it takes a mature person to understand that the man of God just said, you got some cheese in your pocket. You stinking. You got to look at your own self before you look at somebody else. Those who are mature, pursuing the spiritual affection, should have this attained or this attitude. If any respect of you have the different attitude. Now look what he said. If you don't have any respect of you who have a different attitude to those God will make clear to you. Only let us stay true to what we have already obtained. Man, that brother be coming. We can't win it in this. There ain't no place for no phonies in the body of Christ. It ain't about the large crowd. It ain't about the bishop. It ain't about the apostles. It ain't about the archbishop. It's about those who are true to do the work. Because that's a harvest down here, man of God. And the Bible tell me it is great. And if we're going to keep on running around trying to be something that we're not, we might as well get out of the race of leadership in that case and be like the layman. And still using grace as if it was just a, you know, something that you can just play around with, and soon it's gonna catch you anyway. But if you're gonna be in a leadership position, and you're gonna rule from a, you're gonna run from the head, you gotta understand you gotta be mature in pursuing these spiritual things that God has given you that's coming from the kingdom, and knowing that you ain't gonna be with perfection, but you're working toward perfection. And most of us don't want to have that. We really don't.
Right.
Why? I don't know. I don't understand. Maybe y'all can enlighten me. Somebody help me. I've been turning on lights all this afternoon. Somebody help me out here. We got a few more minutes on the show.
The rich man.
I'm lost.
The rich man that came to Jesus in John, I believe. No, Mark 10, I believe. The 17th verse and the 18th verse. He goes to Jesus. He comes to Jesus and says, good master. He says, or good teacher, what good thing can I do to inherit eternal life? Now listen at what Jesus' reply was. He said, why callest me thou good?
Yeah.
He said, when there's none good but the Father. Ain't none of us. Now, ain't
come on, man. God.
There's some good. There's some good in the worst of us.
Yeah.
And there's some bad in the best of us.
Yeah.
So we have not yet gotten it to the point where we are so perfect until we have no shortcomings in our life. The Bible tells us, the Word of God tells us, not only are we going to give an account for the deeds that we do, we're going to give an account for every thought.
Word. Come on, in words, everything.
And all of that, that we're going to get
every
idol. Man.
He said,
so how
I like
it,
to use, how I like to use the word idol.
Yes, every idol.
That idol, like a car, island. You keep on lying. You go. You keep on speaking things that ain't true. You keep idling that same conversation out of your mouth. Keep on lying and keep on portraying. He said, you're idling it. Every idol. Not only just in the form of a statue, but I look at it as from my revelation and understanding, you can't keep idling lies and saying things that's not of God, portraying to be something that you're not. Sometimes you idle your attitude, your lifestyle, as being something that you're not. My wife always tells me, you know, you be transparent, because I don't want no phony blessings coming up in this house. Right. Right. Make sure you be true in what you're doing. Don't have no curse, no demon blessings coming up in here. None to fall back on me when God decided to call. I want good blessings. I want to keep on prospering as you go. Yeah.
Now,
temporary blessings, in other words. And God don't give out no temporary blessings. Not from I understood. They forever and ever. They last and do it to all generations. That's what God's blessings does. Those temporary ones when they get you. But, man of God, we got a few minutes here on the show, and I'm telling you, it's a pleasure. It's, man, I ain't chopped it up like this in a while. We're going to chopping it up in the kingdom of God. And, you know, we did the same thing on the streets. Let's go chop it up. And that's the same thing we did. We're just a bunch of men that's coming together and just hearing what the word of God has to say. And some of them stand on the sideline with their lips swole and their mouth all tucked in, and they probably criticizing the conversation which is going on. But that tells you about a person who's as not, as the word of God say, you're not mature in pursuing spiritual perfection. Because everything we heard tonight was spiritual perfection. About how we need to kid ourselves about getting away from the things which are behind. These men spoke genuinely, not from what we call an oratorical profession, but they spoke out of their hearts about the things we all need to get to pay attention to, these what they call neon signs, these orange cones that's in our life. That we got to be able to walk according to the will. We want to have Dr. Stephan Swilly to go ahead and close us out. And we're going to have Pastor Pearson first to give his last say. And we're going to get ready to have Dr. Stephan Swilly close out his show. And we're going to move forward on this word of God on tonight.
Well, again, brethren and men of God, I just enjoyed myself on this evening, being able to sit in and to share as well as glean from you guys. From the word of God, and it has inspired my life, it has enhanced my life, and it's going to make me even a better minister, better pastor, better husband, better father, better friend, and a better brother, you know, to my family as well. And so I thank you all for just allowing me to every now and then get in some kibbles and bits.
Dr. Stephan,
what a word. It's definitely great to share with you. As I know it's been a long time, brother. But
yes, sir.
One thing that's great about it, we all share this great God.
This great God. That's it.
Yes.
Amen. Amen.
Awesome.
Amen.
What a mighty God we see.
Oh, man, despite of what our past was, I was going to say that, despite of what our past was, and all of us did have perfect paths, so we'll worry about that. We're moving forward.
Oh, yes. God we serve.
Amen. Amen.
If it wasn't for him, we wouldn't be talking the way we're talking right now.
Amen.
Right.
Amen. Amen.
God.
Give it to our mothers, man. I mean, I just lost mine. I know a lot of, you know, we can, some of us on the line can relate to that, you know, but we all handle it in different ways. But if it wasn't for them, we got to get Dr. Pearson. I'm going to say Pastor Pearson. We got to get Dr. Pearson back on here because he be, I don't know what kind of recipes he be coming with. They must be something sent straight from the kingdom. Because that brother got some recipes about getting yourself just like we
Yeah. I really enjoyed it.
We
got to
get him in there. We got to get them in. And before we go, and I know this is something that's in Dr. Swilly's heart, is to come down here. And I know that's going to be some arrangements that he wanted to have. So I said, you got to set that up with Pastor Pierce. I said, we get you down here. You just got to be able to bring a word. If you know Pastor Pierce, he ain't got no phone. He's rolling up in his house now. You got to roll.
Oh, yeah.
You got to roll. Come up in the road with it up over there. And we'll be here to support you. Yeah, I mean, we'll be here to support you. Those here in the city of Texas, or the city of Dallas, that's from Saginaw, we'll be able to support you, man. But, you know, that's some things you got your friend on the line, and that's good for you to let him know that you're looking forward to making your way down here to being with him. Amen. Amen.
Look forward to that day coming.
Amen.
Praise
well, close
God,
us out,
man.
Pastor Swilly. Close us out. We got a few minutes. Close us out in prayer.
For those of you who under the sound of my voice, we just hope that you've been inspired. And as we leave tonight, we just want to ask God to continue to shelter us with your love and your protection.
Amen.
And all we
do,
we're going to continue to give you honor. We're going to continue to give you praise. For all we do, we just honor you, God. But we ask these things tonight in Jesus' name, the only name that matters. We're going to leave with leaving him. But he'll always be in our hearts.
Praise God.
Yeah.
Praise God.
Amen.
Praise God.
Amen.
Again, thank you, brother. Brother Ellis, Pastor Pearson, we thank you for tuning in tonight.
Amen. I tell you, God bless each and every one of you guys from joining us here at Harvest New Life Church and Harvest New Life Studios here in the city of Dallas. It was such a pleasure for you to be on our show. We kind of caught a little blank in the system there, but we want to thank you guys for joining us here at Harvest New Life Church and Harvest New Life Studios here in the city of Dallas. With these great men of God who brought some clarity to the kingdom of God, which we all need to focus on as we go and read our daily word, our nightly word on tonight before we lay our heads down. But once again, join us on tomorrow as we bring forth the word of God. We have co-pastor Patty Ellis bringing a powerful word that's coming from the kingdom of God here from Harvest New Life Studios. And also want you to be with us on this coming Friday as well. As we got a great word that's coming from the kingdom of God. We're going to be back in Africa with Pastor Albright, and we're praying that he's going to make his acquaintance once again as the words he brings from out there in that very area of the country. Until then, God bless you, God keep you, and thank you for joining us here at Harvest New Life Church here in the city of Dallas. God bless.
God bless.
Bless you, brother.